discussing our Baptist distinctives, we are talking about not just what we believe is Baptist, but why we believe it. It's not just that it's taught and we teach it, but that the Bible teaches it. And that's the most important reason that we believe it. Not because we want to, but because God's Word says it. As we talk about our Baptist distinctives, our very first one starts with the letter what? B, as we're looking at our acrostic Baptist, B. And that means biblical authority. The Bible has the final authority that we need for life, for practice, for everything that we believe. The Word of God is our final answer, our final solution. So that's why we must get into the Word of God at least on Sundays, right? At the very least. But if the Bible is our final authority for faith and practice, we need to be in the Word of God how often? Every day. We really need the Word of God every day on a daily basis. So we've got B stands for biblical authority. The A stands for autonomy of the local church. There isn't another organization that tells us what to believe or what to teach. It is the Word of God, and we are directly accountable to the head of the church, which is who? Jesus Christ. That's right. Colossians reminds us Jesus is the head of the church. So the autonomy of the local church. And then we have B-A. What comes next? P. That's right. Baptists. And so the P stands for the what? Priesthood of all believers. Right? Well, there are some churches that believe you must go to someone who is a mediator between you and God. Well, the reality is there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ, Jesus. And He has made it possible that we have direct access to God. Then we get to that first T and we talk about what? Two ordinances. Two ordinances. We talked last week a little bit about why they're not sacraments, but two ordinances. Our first one being baptism. And we will finish that up today and talk about some history along with that. And then next week we'll get into Lord's Table or communion. By the way, I find it interesting. What is next Sunday? It's Communion Sunday. It's the first Sunday of the month where we celebrate the Lord's Table, Communion. And so we'll talk about some of the realities of what that means and what that is for us. So getting back into our lesson, there's a few blanks I just wanted to go over here real quick again. Baptism is not an option. We are not free to decide if baptism applies to us. Though it is for all who are saved, it isn't an option. It is a step of obedience. The Bible makes it very plain and clear with that. To preserve unity, non-denominational churches must be neutral on baptism. We talked about the reality that there are some non-denominational churches that teach however you want to get baptized is okay. Or, you know, you really don't need to. That's just an option. We don't want to offend. Now, again, not all non-denominational churches teach that, but this is a Baptist distinctive. This is what makes Baptist churches different, one of the truths that makes Baptist churches different. A Christian who avoids baptism will always struggle with spiritual growth until this matter is cared for. Have you watched people struggle with spiritual growth? Have you personally struggled with spiritual growth like me? But if we're not willing to obey God in one area, how are we going to obey God in another area? You know, we think about the young people, the teens who pray, God, will you show me your will for my life? Where do you want me to go to college? Who do you want me to marry? What occupation do you want me to do? God, I know you've got a plan for my life. And they're wanting to know God's will, but if they won't obey in other areas, why would God reveal to them his will in those areas? We must always live lives of obedience. And that first area of obedience is baptism. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior and you have never been scripturally baptized, as we've been talking about, I want to challenge you, friend, that is an important area of life. Not because Pastor Josh said so, not because Jerusalem Baptist teaches so, but because the Word of God says it's imperative as a Christian to be baptized. Otherwise, you will just continue to struggle with spiritual growth. And again, we see that in so many different aspects. Baptism, we talked about how baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, turn there real quick with me. Romans chapter 6. When we see what we call the baptismal waters, we have our baptistry up here under the platform. As we see the baptistry, when someone gets baptized, they go down into the water. Can we see that biblically? Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they go into the water. Jesus, of course, he wasn't saved. We talked about that. He didn't need to be saved. He is the Savior. But his baptism identified him. But we see they went down into the river. How many of you have seen a little cartoon where Jesus was baptized by going into the water, the river, and then they sprinkled him? Right? John sprinkled him. Man, that's unbiblical. The Bible makes it very plain that baptism is by immersion. How many of you would love it if your wife washed the dishes by sprinkling a little bit of water on them? Oh, that sounds good, right? How many of you wives have watched your husband wash dishes that way? You have your dog lick it clean, right? And, oh man, that's good and clean. Well, it wasn't immersed. Baptism is the idea of being dunked completely. And we see this picture in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, who is dead to sin? Those who are what? Saved. Those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were fully emerged into Jesus Christ at salvation. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness, of his resurrection. Then verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The picture of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we are picturing when we have baptism. Someone is picturing the death and the burial. They go under the water and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is an identification of what happens at salvation. By the way, which already happened for that individual who got saved. Baptism has nothing to do with saving someone. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Baptism shows that the believer has died with Christ and has died to self and is sold out to Christ. Now, does that mean that a baptized believer never struggles with sin? Of course not. Many of you know that by personal experience, don't you? Don't I? Yeah, you all know I do, right? Yeah, someone said that. The reality is, man, I get it. I was saved when I was 4.5 years old. I got baptized a couple years later. I remember, man, I was sitting in the back of the service and probably near where Bass or where the McAllisters are sitting. And I was sitting next to my mom and it was the invitation. And I just kind of tapped my mom and I said, Mom, is this when you go forward if you want to get baptized? The Lord had really spoken to my heart about the importance of obeying in believers' baptism. Now, I remember when I went forward, there was a guy, Mr. Long was his name. He was a teacher. My dad was in Bible college at the time. He was one of the teachers over at the school, and we got to know their family pretty well. We went to the same church, and I remember he took me aside into a room, and he said, Josh, do you know that baptism doesn't save you? It's just a picture of what's already happened. And he made very sure that I understood what baptism was. But you know, since then, I've struggled with sin. But what baptism does is it identifies us with Christ. I am his. I have been saved. His death, burial, and resurrection is what I am identifying with. Not just with God, not just with a church, but it's a specific picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. I have died with Christ. In my sins, I am dead to my sins. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. We worship God on Sunday, but we live for God every day. We should. We worship God corporately or as a church body together on Sunday, but there's something special about Monday. We can live for God too. And salvation makes a difference. Baptism doesn't just show that the believer's died with Christ. Baptism shows that the believer is buried with Christ and is no longer inclined to sin. A dead person, how much do they sin? They don't. You know, as we grieve the loss of Danny, Danny doesn't struggle with sin anymore, does he? Now, it's not because he's earned his way to heaven. Man, Danny and I had some good conversations and hearing his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But Danny doesn't struggle with sin because he's in heaven anymore. And what a day that will be. But dead people don't sin. And if I'm dead to sin in Christ, should I sin? Should I? No, I'm free from that sin. But many times I choose to go ahead and commit it anyway. I choose to do it. But I've been buried with Christ, and I'm no longer inclined to sin. Verse 11 of chapter 6, if you're still there. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore what? Reign. Not R-A-I-N. We don't want it to fall down, but we don't want it to R-E-I-G-N. What? Rule, be in control, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto who? God, as those that are alive from the dead. So we see again, here's this picture of baptism in Christ, the death, burial, and what? Resurrection. That's what our baptism pictures has happened to us. So when we baptize someone in our baptistry, it's indeed a picture of what has happened at salvation. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we are alive in Christ. Baptism shows that the believer has risen with Christ and now has new life in Christ. The baptism does not make the person alive in Christ. The baptism does not make them one who has the new life in Christ. The baptism is the picture of what happened at salvation when I have that new life in Christ. Romans chapter 6, again, verses 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. New life in Christ. 2 Corinthians, behold, all things have become new. We are new creatures in Christ at salvation. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. That's what it is. It is not that change in itself. Baptism does not make me clean. It does not finish off salvation. It doesn't make sure I'm saved. In fact, if I've never been baptized, but I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I will go to heaven when I die. Now, I wouldn't have obeyed in the area of baptism, but I would go to heaven. Baptism is an important aspect of the Christian life. Again, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior and you've never been baptized, friend, I want you to really make your heart tender to God. God, help me to see what is necessary for my life. We see that the King James word, the KJV word, baptize, means to immerse, as in completely covering a fabric in a bath of dye. How many of you have ever tie-dyed some cloth? Okay. Two, three, excellent. Tie-dye is fun. Those of you who've done it, you know what it... I mean, I remember one time we did tie-dye when I was a counselor at camp in college. We laid our t-shirts down on the ground and we kind of poured it in the design. That's not tie-dye. And when I was a kid, we did rubber bands and you bunch your t-shirt all up and you dunk it in this thing so that it gets immersed all the way. Now, certain parts of it didn't get changed because you tied it all up tight and whatnot, and so it made that cool design in it. But baptism is immersion. Baptism, the word baptize means to immerse. Only baptism by immersion was practiced by Christians and even pagans or unsaved until approximately AD 500. So we look at history of baptism. Again, we don't just want to take what we do and how we practice because history teaches. We go back to what? What does the B stand for, Spencer? Biblical authority. And I picked on him because he told me that a few weeks ago. So teens, you be ready, right? But the biblical authority. We go back not just because of history, but because of biblical authority. But I think it's interesting as we look at history, some of the church history, some of the history even in the world. We see that immersion was practiced. It's interesting, some archaeological digs have even found baptistries. Going down, again, you go into the water, get immersed. Sprinkling or pouring water on someone's head violates the scriptural sense of the word baptize. Who created the human language? God did. In fact, God made us beings that can communicate. Now, God made animals to communicate, didn't he? But there was something special that God made about humans. We can communicate with each other, but we can also communicate with who? God. Words have meanings. If I said that these pews are neon green, that would have a meaning, wouldn't it? But the reality is every word has a meaning. And again, Bible words are important to have meanings. That's why often, even as I'll preach, I will share a definition. It's important to know words, to define our terms. You know, there's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which they like to call themselves, the Mormons. They will use some of the same terminology as Christians that we use. Trust Jesus and Jesus Christ and so many. But we've got to stop and define terms. What are they talking about? And when you begin to understand their definition of terms, it's very opposed to the Word of God. And so even when we come to the word baptized, we want to understand what is the word? What does it teach? Again, what is the history even that we see? In the Bible, baptism was done while people were in the water. We could look at Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway, what? Out of the water. John 3:23. And John was also baptizing in Arnon near Salem, because there was much, what? Water there. And they came and were baptized. Acts, again, these are both before Jesus Christ died. These are identification types of baptism we talked about. Acts 8:38, we talked about earlier, I referred to, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were what? Come up out of the water. There's the important aspect of in and out. Not because it makes me more right with God, but because that's what the word teaches. That's what the word literally means. Important aspect there. Again, after salvation, very important, even with the Ethiopian eunuch there, Philip asked, do you know you're saved? He really made certain of that. It's not our responsibility just to baptize someone because they think they're on their way to heaven, but to make sure that they understand salvation, because baptism doesn't solidify anything. It only is a picture of what has happened in obedience to Jesus Christ. There is no saving power in water baptism. There is no saving power. It doesn't make me saved. It doesn't solidify it. There are many who do believe and teach that. So here's some dates, some history dates. How many of you love history? Three of you. Okay, no, a number of you. How many of you hate history? Well, here's some important dates you need to remember. Okay, just some facts, historical events. 8250, the doctrinal errors of baptismal regeneration and infant baptism began. What does baptismal regeneration mean? Anybody have an idea? What's that, Jimmy? The saving power, regeneration. The baptism can regenerate me, make me born again. So in AD 250, the doctrinal errors of baptismal regeneration and infant baptism. Baptism is not for infants. By the way, baptism is not for 20-year-olds who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior either. An infant can't be saved. Out of curiosity, maybe some of you in here were baptized as an infant and realized later you got saved and you need to get baptized. Bill? Amen. Trent? Amen. Man, a number of you. You realize that baptism as an infant didn't have anything for you. By the way, it's not true baptism. That's why in a real sense you're not being re-baptized. Because true baptism is after we're saved. AD 251, true New Testament churches began to separate from churches that participated in these errors. AD 306 to 337, Constantine was the emperor of Rome. In 310, Constantine may have accepted Christ, but clung to the error of baptismal regeneration. Some of these are names you've heard in history. AD 313, Constantine united the Roman government and Christianity. In 325, Constantine's state church evolved into the universal church, also called the Catholic Church. That's what Catholic means, universal. law in 84:16, law was passed requiring baptism of all infants under penalty of death for all who refused. And you've heard this as you studied church history, if you've looked at church history at all. Fox's Book of Martyrs, many who were willing to go to death, even for the point of, no! In AD 426, the Dark Ages began, during which 50 million Christians were martyred as lawbreakers. Dark Ages, Bible wasn't printed yet. We didn't have that, all that printing, the printing press. Only the clergy hierarchy had scriptures, not the common people. Again, I hate to say common people, because in a real sense, it's not like I'm some hierarchy person and you're common people. We all are, but the reality is, only the clergy members of the church then had the scriptures. The Bible wasn't for the common person because you can't understand it. Well, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit who teaches and guides us into all truth. We need help at times. We need some guidance. And man, there's some tough sections of scripture, but the Word of God is for each of us. That's why if you don't carry a Bible with you, what is in your pew here? A Bible. Because, man, it's important for you to see that what I'm speaking from is the Word of God. Heresy began in earnest. Indulgences, purgatory, papal infallibility. Man, the popes couldn't fail. Everything they said is good. In AD 451, Mariolatry, or the worship of Mary, began. In AD 680, saint worship began at Constantinople. In AD 1000, the Dark Ages ended. Constantine postponed baptism until death because he believed baptism would wash away his sins. Baptism does not save. It does not save. It doesn't complete salvation. It doesn't make sure you're saved. It's not a safety net. It simply is a step of obedience. Important step of obedience. But a step of obedience nonetheless. Constantine said, "If I am saved from my sins by baptism, what is to become of my sins which I commit after I am baptized?" Isn't that the reality if we think about it that way? If baptism is what saves me from my sins, what about the sins after I get baptized? That leads us to the idea that I've got to earn something else. I've got to do something. And Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. It is finished." Baptismal regeneration is doctrinal error. It's doctrinal error. Belief that baptism can outright save someone. Belief that baptism is part of our salvation. Does the Bible teach baptismal regeneration? Let's all say that together. No. Does the Bible teach baptismal regeneration? No, it doesn't complete your salvation. It doesn't add to your salvation. It doesn't guarantee you're saved. It's not a safety net. The doctrinal error of baptismal regeneration soon led to infant baptism. Doesn't that only make sense? If baptism saves, man, we better baptize our infants so that they're in. Doesn't that make sense? That's why some of you, your parents had to baptize you. Usually, by the way, with infant baptism, it's not even the true definition of the word baptize. They don't generally dunk infants all the way under the water. Now, some people, when they teach an infant to swim, they just throw them in the water. Anybody ever seen them teach infants to swim? It's kind of crazy to see that. But usually when we talk about infant baptism, we're talking about a little sprinkling or putting some water on the forehead. That's not baptism. What is the problem with infant baptism? Anybody? What's that? It doesn't save them. What is another problem with infant baptism then? They have a false sense of security. I'm set with it. I heard another one. They can't choose. The baby can't be saved. How many of you who know my Mariah, my 2-year-old, think she can choose to be saved? She can, but not yet. She does not understand. Now, she's learning what her sin is. And boy, sure, I sure am too. I'm seeing it a lot. But the reality is she has to personally understand that Jesus died for her. And that understanding comes at different ages. I was 4.5 years old when I got saved. I know I was saved. Evangelist Mike Maynor, some of you remember him when he came in this last year. I talked with him about one of our kids. He said, "Josh, you know what? My daughter got saved. She was 3 years old." He said, and she's convinced even to this day that she knew and understood what she was doing at 3 years old. But for some of you, it may have been 8 or 9 when you didn't finally understood. Some of you, it was 63. And it just clicked. But the reality is we must choose. Again, baptismal regeneration, infant baptism, doesn't save, doesn't change. It doesn't make the difference in my life. People wanted their babies to go to heaven, so they thought that baptism would get their babies into heaven. You think about it, the Dark Ages. Was infant mortality rate high? Yeah, I mean, people died young and all sorts of things. So if baptism would ensure they'd get to heaven, as a baby even, man, we should just baptize them right away. Now, sometimes people would even take and make some comparisons with the Old Testament. What happened to the baby Jewish boys in the Old Testament? Okay, so they got killed under some different leaders. We saw that, man, even with Moses' time and whatnot. What is something that happened with the baby boys 8 days after they were born? Circumcision. Well, man, this just got them in. This made them part of it. Well, for many of the Jews, this is what did it for them. This is what settled it for them. It was an act. But even as God made it very plain in the Old Testament, it's not an act, it is a belief of heart. And the Old Testament Jews had to look forward to the death of Jesus Christ. The prophecy of Jesus coming, it was a belief, it was faith. And we see this as we look at Hebrews, we see other passages where we look back and they were saved by faith, not by works. Their works flowed out of their faith. But there were many Jews who believed since they were circumcised, that's all they needed. In fact, we saw a group of Jewish people in the early New Testament period who they believed if we follow these 613 laws plus all these others we put on top to make sure we follow all these laws, we're good. And the Bible calls those group of people what? Pharisees. And they just thought they could keep the law. But the reality is the law shows me that I cannot keep it. I can't. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Trying to keep the law doesn't make me right with God, because I can't keep the law. How many of you can look back to a time in life where you were told what not to do, and you did it anyway? Right? Now maybe that wasn't yesterday. Maybe that was years ago. But I mean, how many times, even as an adult, since you've been saved, you look back at your life and you say, man, there is a time I knew God's word taught me not to do this, whether it's be angry or worry or whatever. But I didn't care at that moment. I wanted to do that. My flesh wanted it anyway. Know what I'm talking about? Man, I can think of some specific times. I don't even remember what my attitude was, but I remember driving down one of our main roads back in Muskegon from our church to our house, which was a straight drag, kind of like our house here to church here. And I remember driving down. I don't remember why I was angry. I'm ashamed to admit I was pretty angry that day. And I remember thinking, I don't even care. I know it's wrong. Like, I'm ashamed to say that. But that was my heart. And so, man, as much as we may try, we never can fully keep the law. Our salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Baptism is a picture of what happened at salvation. I've told you before, I was 4.5 years old, and I was out in a small town park. And there we had our VBS from a church there. And I was sitting against the ball diamond fence with the pastor. And he was just going through some scripture with me that day. I'd heard the gospel as a little boy. But it was that day that I realized my sin as a 4-year-old was sending me to hell. And that Jesus died for not just everybody else, but Jesus died for my sin. And it was that day, sitting against that ball diamond fence, that I got saved. And I knew when I left there that I was on my way to heaven because Jesus had forgiven my sin. It was a couple years later I got baptized. I already told you some of the circumstances around that. Man, I was excited to get baptized. But baptism didn't save me. I knew I was saved. Not because that's what I was taught, but because that's what the Bible teaches. Remember, biblical authority, the very first Baptist distinctive, we go back to the Word of God for everything we believe. So what are you going to do? How are you going to believe about baptism? We must go back to the Bible. In the Bible, salvation always precedes baptism. Always. It always precedes baptism. It comes first. That's why when someone comes forward or someone talks and says, hey, I really believe I need to get baptized. That's why we talk with them to make sure they understand what? Salvation. Not just to understand what baptism is, but we want to make sure that they understand what salvation is and that it's complete in Christ and not finished in baptism. Because if someone believes that salvation is finished in baptism, then all of a sudden baptism becomes a work for salvation. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I could not finish my salvation by getting baptized. I just need to make sure. Just need to make sure. Baptism is not an assurance of salvation. We want to very, very plainly make sure that people understand they're saved before they get baptized. And that it is not an assurance to make sure they're saved. Acts 2:41. Chapter 8, verse 12, 8:35 through 39, 10:44 through 48, 16:30 through 33, multiple times just in the book of Acts alone, we see that that salvation always comes before baptism. Always. Upon realizing the error of infant baptism, many Christians of old were rebaptized, if you will call it that. Some of you know, you already shared that. That's me. I really got baptized because I got saved and realized that was not baptism. Beginning in AD 425, back to some history here, those who were rebaptized were called Anabaptists, and other names in there. The term Anna means go back or re or again. Because again, technically the word baptize means to immerse or to dunk. How many of you remember Lydia in the New Testament times? Lydia, the seller of what color? How did they make purple cloth? They had to baptize it. They had to immerse it. They had to dye it, not just kind of sprinkle it on to make it have a tie-dye look. Had to be all the way under. So Anna means to go back, rebaptize. Again, hence Anabaptists were baptized again. It applied to those who were baptized as infants. It applied to people who were baptized as unsaved adults. It could apply all over. It's not just that infant baptism. That doesn't accomplish anything. Eventually, Anna was dropped and we were simply called Baptists. We do have a history. A Baptist history. And it's important to understand, again, we aren't just some fly by the night, here we come, let's adopt the name Baptist. We're Baptist for a reason. There is history behind it. But ultimately, it goes back, what does the Word of God teach? I'm a Baptist, unashamed, lovingly, but unashamed Baptist because of the Word of God, not because my daddy was a Baptist. My grandpa wasn't. That didn't make my daddy a Baptist. But I'm a Baptist because of the Word of God. And I don't want my kids to grow up and be Baptist because that's what Dad taught us. And I don't want anyone in our church family to say, I'm Baptist because I go to Jeruel Baptist Church. That's not good enough reason. I'm Baptist because that's what the Word of God teaches. I'm Baptist because I see what the Bible teaches, and that defines who we are as a Baptist church. Baptist distinctives, they make a difference. Bernie?
I'm reading a book, in fact, I've read it once, I'm reading it again. It's called The Trail of Blood by Dr. Gail Carroll.
Yes.
And it is a very interesting read. It goes 2,000 years of church history.
Yeah.
And one thing he mentions in that I noticed
Right.
Because they did not come out of the Reformation.
Yes. Yep, amen. So again, we aren't a Protestant church. Because Baptist was not part of that Catholic church. Again, we saw some of that. We didn't go into depth with that, but as we saw Constantine and the Roman church and the Catholic church and all of those truths, the reality is we are different. Not because just our history, but it goes back to what? The Bible. You and I must place everything that we believe and the way we live on the Word of God. That's what makes the difference for our life today. Brother Bill, would you close us in prayer?